Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, your only choice for local sports talk in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. It will be Brewers-Dodgers. More on that coming up in just a little bit. It is also a Green and Gold Tuesday. Brought to you by our friends at Aurora Sports Health. Advanced care to get you back to doing the things you love. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org. The Packer game, we're like tripping over ourselves to find reasons not to talk about the Packer game. But
well, there's an easy out.
There is an easy out with the Brewers. But we're so fond of Aaron Nagler at CheeseheadTV.com that we will talk about the pain and agony of whatever it was that we watched on Sunday just for the chance to converse and hear your voice. Aaron, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, Aaron.
I'm doing well. How about those Brewers?
Yeah, I'm
excited.
Hey, you know what? We got to talk about them as long as they're hot, man. This is going to be fun here the next two or three weeks, and it takes us away from the drama of the Green Bay Packers. Where do we start? I mean, 2-2-1. Like I've run into people out here. I'm doing the show from Colorado, and they'll say, "Oh yeah, the Brewer team looks good, but what's wrong with your football team?" And I've had many people ask me about that already. So I'm going to ask you, what's wrong with this football team?
Oh, it's just disjointed. It sure looks like everything they want to do, they aren't capable of doing. The idea that they've got all this talent, you know, all summer long we talked about the different ways they could beat you on offense, and they're just beating themselves. And I know it's frustrating to watch week after week as the offense stumbles out of the gate. At some point, you know, you have to just say, this is a team that's not practicing a whole heck of a lot together with Aaron Rodgers sitting out every Wednesday. Mike McCarthy canceling practices because they had an overtime game. It's just really disjointed, and there's no execution until they get down 24-0. They junk their offense, and they go to the hurry-up. And then people want to say, oh, well, you know, at least they were productive in the second half. Well, yeah, Detroit sat back in a comfortable two-deep zone and just let them have everything underneath. So, yeah, you're going to put up a bunch of yardage and a bunch of points then. But coming out of the gate, they have got to find a way to execute from the beginning of the game, because until they do, it's clear that they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
It seems like to me, best case scenario is the season where they went to the NFC Championship game against Atlanta, where Rodgers can will them there, but the team around him isn't, you know, very good. And Rodgers, this Packer team, we're going to look back at this little era here and say that they looked like a good team when Rodgers was elite, but when he was anything but elite, you saw that they actually weren't that good of a football team. There's a lot of blame on Sunday, and a lot of that, Aaron, I think, starts with Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, he did not play well, especially early on. And he, to his credit, you know, he owned that after the game much differently than he did last Sunday when he was taking veiled shots at Mike McCarthy. This week, he was very upfront about needing to play better, especially early in the game. His two fumbles, that's 10 points. That puts you in that 24-0 hole. I mean, that's a killer. And it's funny you mentioned that year that they started 4-6, and then they quote-unquote ran the table to the NFC Championship game. I think they have a better defense this year than they did that year. Anytime you don't have Ladarius Gunter as your number one corner, I think that's going to be the case. But the thing that turned that season around, and yes, Jared Cook coming back helped, and the emergence of Ty Montgomery on offense helped, but the biggest thing that turned around that season was turnover differential. Mike talked about it at his press conference yesterday, and it is the absolute truth. It's been the way they've won tons of games with him as head coach. Just winning turnover battles will win you football games. And right now they're sitting at -1 on the year. That's no way to live. That year, they were sitting at minus like two or three. They turned it around. They, at one point during that run, they were at plus double digits. That's how you win football games. And that's how this team has got to win football games. They got to give Aaron Rodgers more chances. You build a lead, and then let that defense get after the quarterback. You know, it sounds simple, and it is simple. They just need to execute, plain and simple.
You know, with kickers, the only time we talk about kickers is when they do bad or they struggle. I mean, Mason can go out there and bang in 255-yarders, but no, we won't say anything about him. But then, you know, he misses four and then an extra point, and there's problems. What I saw the national reports come across yesterday say, well, you know, report Mason Crosby's not going to be cut by the Green Bay Packers. The thought of him being cut never even crossed my mind. Did it yours at all?
Absolutely not. Not at all. Not at all. And that's just people, you know, general observers around the league. Most places, I think, would think about cutting their kicker after a performance like that. But, you know, I mean, look, you don't have to look any further than Minnesota. You know, they cut their kicker after he missed three kicks in one game. But that's a rookie, and it's a totally different circumstance. And we've seen Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst was on that staff that saw Mason Crosby struggle mightily back in 2012. They stuck with him, and he rewarded them. And I'm with you. I didn't think for a second that they would cut him, but I am interested to see how he rebounds from this because it looks like such an anomaly. He was 10 of 11 prior to that game. All of those misses at once is kind of shocking. And looking at the tape, it doesn't appear that much is wrong with the long snapper and the holder on those kicks. So I am interested to see how he comes back on Monday night and when Mike sends him out there. You know, if it gets into his head, you could have a problem because it happens like that in the NFL where a guy loses confidence. We've seen it throughout the history of the league. All of a sudden, he's in his head, and all of a sudden, it just kind of gets away from him. Is it that, or does he come back Monday night, hit all his kicks, and, okay, that was just a bad game, and we're on the way? But it is concerning, there's no doubt.
Okay, what if he does struggle on Monday night? Then are there going to be some red flags put up, and will Mark?
I don't see how there can't be.
Okay.
If he comes out and misses two more kicks, there's going to be conversation. I'm not saying that means they're going to cut him right away, but the alarm bells will start ringing, no doubt.
I think when you look back at this game on Sunday, and really any game since he's come back, a lot of Packer fans are scratching their head about Aaron Jones. Mike McCarthy saying this yesterday.
You know, there's more to, you know, the playing the position, just running the football. So I think Aaron's doing some great things. I think Jamal's doing some great things. And definitely, you know, I think Ty's done some things. And it gives us diversity in our attack with all three guys in there. I don't think this is clearly, as you, I think, are saying, that this is clearly one guy is, you know, superior than the other two. I think they all have excellent attributes.
Realization or the rationalization is for why we didn't see a lot of Aaron Jones in the second half could be, well, pass protection. Maybe he's not up to speed in that. Our friend Jersey Al tweeting, more anger about Aaron Jones. I just viewed every second half pass play by the Packers out of 35 plays that started as a passing play. The Packers kept a running back into block just three times, all by Ty Montgomery. Don't give me this Jones doesn't get snaps because of blocking. Is it that simple that he's just not, they don't have the confidence in him in pass protection, or is Mike McCarthy just not willing to name a starter even though clearly one is the best?
Well, I think it definitely goes much to the latter than the former. Look, I understand what Mike is saying, and there's no doubt that Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery have attributes that you like, and it's not to take anything away from them. But Aaron Jones is clearly the most explosive back in the backfield. And when you're trying to build, you know, come from behind, I want explosive plays. I need big plays. Especially with the defense sitting back in a soft cover two shell, use that running back. And it just mystifies me, this idea that, okay, Ty Montgomery is our 2-minute back. So if that's as hyper specialized as you are, what happens if Ty Montgomery gets hurt? Are you junking your 2-minute offense? Of course not. I just want the talent on the field. I want the talent to be utilized time and again. We see this over and over. It's funnily enough, Ryan Grant, the former Packers running back, chimed in on Twitter. I think the night after the game, someone had asked him, how long did it take Mike to get you on the field? And he said, you know, Deshaun Wynn got hurt, and then he had to use me. Like, it's just, that's how far back it goes. History tells you. McCarthy he gets these ideas of who does what in his system, and he sticks with it come hell or high water. And at this point, with Aaron Jones getting, what, six carries? I think that's to the detriment of the offense.
He loves Montgomery, doesn't McCarthy? I mean, he does not want to take...
Oh, absolutely.
He does,
and
yeah.
I get it. Like I said, do not take anything away from Ty. I think he's hella talented. I think he can do a lot of good stuff with the ball in his hands. He's really useful for a lot of the stuff they like to do at the line of scrimmage when they motion him out of the backfield. They go into the spread formation. Aaron can do a lot with that. I love that. I'm not saying junk it and get rid of it. I am saying get Aaron Jones on the field, because that's great. All that versatility is wonderful. But when you're constantly falling behind and your offense is clearly not clicking, it's time to change it up and get your talent on the football field.
Hypothetical for you, what do you think the Packers' record would be at this point if Sean McVay was their head coach?
Oh, man, I have no idea. Maybe if Aaron Rodgers is playing the same way.
Yeah, he got hurt week one, still missing practices.
Yeah, not much better than what it is right now, probably. I mean, I think maybe another victory, you know. But, you know, heck, the Packers should have another victory with that Minnesota debacle. So it'd be similar if maybe a skosh better, but that's about it.
Because I think a lot of people are at the point.
I don't think he's not worth, like, you know, they're not going undefeated because Sean McVay is their head coach.
I think people are at the point, Aaron, where people, if you ask them, we'll put this poll up on 105.7 FM The Fan on Twitter. If it meant getting McCarthy fired, would you be okay with the Packers missing the playoffs? And I think most fans are starting to trend that way.
Oh, I definitely. My inbox and my mentions definitely tell me that that's the case. And look, I understand it. Well, we always talk about, you know, a guy has a shelf life in the NFL. We were talking about when they were 4-6, and then they turned it all around. You know, you have a shelf life in the NFL. Bill Walsh said it famously, about 10 years is your shelf life. And after that, you just get stale. We saw it with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He went on to do really excellent things in Kansas City. He still is doing excellent things in Kansas City. Sometimes you just need to be, you know, kind of shaken out of the doldrums, so to speak. And I don't think if Mike was fired, they missed the playoffs, he gets fired by Green Bay, he would be on the street for 24 hours until someone hired him. So, you know, I just think maybe it's that time. But we can't say that definitively, not even close to it, until the season plays out, because there is a whole lot of season left.
What's the relationship been like, you think, with Gutekunst and McCarthy? This whole the whole front office was restructured and reporting to Murphy. You know, I wonder how this is going right now when they're being 2-2-1 and Gutekunst with McCarthy as his coach, and how that all is shaping up out there in Packer headquarters.
Yeah, I do. I wonder about that as well. It's interesting because we don't get to see Gutekunst very much during the season. Murphy's been a little bit more available, and he has even said, you know, he is more involved on the football side, as he said he was going to be all offseason. I think, you know, Mike's probably in a good spot because he did get, you know, a guy on the staff he knew. They had a really good relationship. I think that still exists. And, you know, I think you saw a glimmer of it when they signed Breland, the free agent corner, who, you know, funnily enough, hasn't been able to play the first 2 weeks. But once they signed him, you know, they asked Mike about him, and he was like, oh, it's just great to have a vet in here who knows the ropes, you know, and blah, 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 blah. You could tell. It's not not something he's used to. You know, usually it's promote from the practice squad, go get someone else's practice squad guy, blah, blah, blah. This time they actually brought in a vet who's started a bunch of games. So I think Mike's in a good spot. He just has to get his team playing better. That's the number one thing.
Aaron Nagler, what's your Brewers prediction against the Dodgers?
Oh, man, I have no predictions, but I'll tell you this. I love that the Dodgers are talking junk because, you know, they're just going to come in there thinking they're the Kings and whatever. And the Milwaukee, I just hope they put it to them but good. I can't wait.
I love it. Aaron Nagler, you can find him at Aaron Nagler. You can find him at CheeseheadTV.com. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
Aaron Nagler joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
How about that Sunday? There's not going to be any Brewers because the Brewers have an off day, the travel day to go to Los Angeles. And there's no Packers on Sunday. That's a rarity.
Yeah, that will be weird. And then Monday night's going to be, you know, game three versus the Packers on Monday night.
Yeah, they both play. So
so next week we'll probably not do our green and gold Monday until probably green and gold, I don't know, Friday,
yeah,
Thursday.
Because we'd be doing it on Tuesday unless something totally out of foreseen would happen in that game. But, yeah, we'll be talking about game three between the Brewers and Dodgers, which could be a pivotal game three out in Los Angeles.
Freems, you're in Denver right now, and you'll be back in studio tomorrow. But one thing that you missed out on by not being here in Milwaukee is us little radio stations at Entercom Milwaukee, a little client event last night.
Where, really?
Yeah, a musician named Ben Rector. I didn't know who this guy was. Pretty good. But you know who I saw there? Long story short, Paul Roberts in the house.
Did we have that at our station, or do we have to go to our remote site for that?
It was at Collectivo.
Okay. How did I not know about that?
Well, you were in Denver.
Oh, was this a last second thing?
No. You see, you don't check your company email.
Was it by invite only?
You were on the invite list.
Okay.
And I know that because everyone I saw said, "Hey, Bart's here. Where's Chuck?"
Oh, well.
You know how we're like one person?
Yeah. Well, I hope they knew that we were, you know, doing our shows from a remote these days. So because of the Brewers. But yeah, Paul Roberts, Paul's not going to pass up a good meal. I know that. And just like you should not pass up, or I shouldn't pass up a good day to grill out, over at Roberts Specialty Meats is your go-to destination. Paul Roberts, well, when it comes to grilling out, that guy is a World Series champion, without question about it. Paul Roberts is your go-to destination. Roberts Specialty Meats, whether you're watching the game from home or tailgating over at the ballpark, everybody's first choice for tailgating is Roberts Ribs on a Stick. Man, so many people I've heard over the years of doing these for Paul, talking about Roberts Ribs on a Stick, they've told me, hey, you know, I've gone out to Paul, I've gone out to Waukesha, and I've taken your advice on getting the Roberts Ribs on a Stick, and they are as good as advertised. Boneless pork ribs marinated in a smoky barbecue sauce, or the equally popular marinated chicken skewers in barbecue, garlic parmesan, or the Door County cherry. Hey, the chicken skewers, they're fantastic as well. But I got to tell you, their calling card, the Roberts Ribs on a Stick, the boneless pork ribs, you put them on your grill, never have I ever had anybody tell me, well, yeah, they're okay. No, it's always, wow, man, those things smell good. Can't wait till they come off the grill. And a couple of minutes on each side, and they're good to go, and they are so tender, they taste good. And I'm telling you, when you go to Roberts and you pick up some original sausages or brats, you got to pick up yourself a couple of pounds of ribs on a stick. He's got the market cornered on that. There's no doubt about it. And as I mentioned, the sausages and brats, well, he's got over 30 varieties of sausage and brats. Where can you go to find a guy who's got that many sausages and brats from mild to hot, including the Wisconsin Wurst, featuring beer, bacon, and cheddar? Call Paul today, 262-549-MEAT. Better yet, just stop on over and check out his big selection and reserve your order. And when you get there, check out some of the Cherrywood smoked beef sticks. I love their steaks, their New York strips, their tenderloins. First class all the way. Only the best meats. From Paul Roberts at Roberts Specialty Meats. Check out their website, robertsspecialtymeatswaukesha.com. They got some money-saving coupons out there. Easy to get to on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, south side of town, across from the old Kmart, right on the Sunset Strip. Roberts Specialty Meats, for all your grilling needs. And we got great weather to grill out in. Roberts Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
Green Bay down in Detroit.
Mason Crosby has missed three field goals and now a point after.
There's a lot to say about this one, and we're talking about it with you all day. It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Monday on the Fan. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
Well, we'll just, you know, work through things. I'm just like any of the things that didn't go right today.
It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Tuesday on the Fan. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
He's a proven, highly successful kicker. I still believe in him, so, but he knows it. I mean, he has to make those kicks. I mean, it's a different game at halftime, so hopefully we'll learn from it and move on.
Mike McCarthy, who appears to have a go-to catchphrase.
I'm a highly successful NFL head coach. He's a proven, highly successful kicker. I'm a highly successful NFL head coach. He's a proven, highly successful kicker. I'm a highly successful
Chuck,
NFL head coach.
Chuck, you got to stop me. I'm going to be doing this for the next 10 minutes.
Well, I mean,
I'm a highly successful NFL head coach.
When there's ever a trouble with a player.
Highly successful kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever there's a player that might be fumbling or a veteran player, he'll always say, oh, I have 100% confidence in so-and-so. I have 100% confidence at so-and-so. He said that about Ty Montgomery. He said it about Mason Crosby. He said it about himself, as we just heard. So, Mike, when he throws his weight behind somebody,
I'm a highly successful NFL head coach.
He threw his weight behind himself right there.
He's a proven, highly successful kicker.
We put up a poll on Twitter at 105.7 FM, The Fan. How would you rather have this season play out for the Packers? You get one of two choices. You either get the Packers making the playoffs, but McCarthy stays. Now, how they do in the playoffs, who knows? Make the playoffs and McCarthy stays, or miss the playoffs and McCarthy's fired, and we do not ever endorse or condone the act of someone losing their job and their right at livelihood outside of Jason Kidd. But in this poll, that's the hypothetical that we're throwing out there. So, Freems, would you willingly have the Packers miss the playoffs if it meant McCarthy was getting fired?
No, I can't cheer against the Packers. I can't. I can't want them to lose. Losing is another year wasted of Aaron Rodgers. I'm just going to let the season take its course. And if so happens, Bart, they have a bad year, they have a bad year. But I'm certainly not going to be cheering for them to lose. Now, if it gets to a point where at the end of a season, where if they lose, they'd have the number. I mean, if it ever got to this point where they had to lose their final game of the season to get the number one draft pick in the NFL draft, then that'd be a case where, okay, final two games. That might be a case. But like right now, they're 2-2-1. There's a lot to play for, and I know they're struggling. But I would never say, no, I want the Packers to lose so McCarthy can lose his job at the end of the season. I'm not even close to that. So I know I want them to win, and I'll let the chips fall where they may with McCarthy. But no, I cannot cheer against them.
The results of the poll so far, and we just put it up. You can still vote. How would you rather see the Packers season play out? 63% of voters said they'd rather see McCarthy fired and the Packers missing the playoffs. 37 say make the playoffs and McCarthy stays. Got a tweet here from Scott. It says, fans, stop wasting Rodgers' prime. Also, fans, please throw away a season so we can fire the head coach. And I think what the logic is, that's a good point, but I think what the logic is, and Chuck made it too, is that if McCarthy is fired, you can salvage the end of Rodgers' career, similar to when Sherman was fired and McCarthy got a little more out of Favre, took them to another NFC Championship game, almost got them to a Super Bowl. McCarthy, when he came in, helped sort of save Favre. Somebody might need to come in to sort of save Rodgers.
Well, who's to say that guy could do it, though? Who's to say who you get is going to be the right fit and do what you say there and save the rest of Rodgers' career? I mean, obviously, there's problems between Rodgers and McCarthy. There is. And Rodgers can say all day that there's not, and McCarthy can say what he wants, but there is an obvious. It's been going on for years, and that's only when you've been together for 13 years, whether you're in a band or if you're in a relationship, whatever, some of that stuff happens in a relationship. Not all the time, but sometimes it does. And I think that's the case here. But again, who's to say that the next guy who comes in after McCarthy is going to be the right guy for the right job? I mean, McCarthy turned out to be the perfect guy at the time. But even when he was hired, Packer critics out there were saying, why do you want to hire an offensive coordinator from the San Francisco 49ers? They were terrible last year. What did he do in New Orleans? So, when he was hired for that job, it wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement from Packer fans.
I'm a highly successful NFL head coach. He's a proven, highly successful kicker.
Kerps13 tweets in, not fair. Not a huge fan of Mac, but he's trying to make steak and lobster out of hot dogs. This is still Ted's team, not completely McCarthy's fault.
There's some to that, but, he's given the groceries. Now McCarthy's got to cook the groceries and make them taste good. And I don't think that Ted did a lousy job in his last few years, and that's why he's out. Ted didn't do a very good job, and it's not because of incompetence or whatever. I don't know. For whatever reason, he did a bad job. And now McCarthy's left to work with a roster maybe that is not all that not all that good. And maybe we were wrong at the beginning of the season to automatically put the Packers as division champs and into the Super Bowl. I thought they'd get nine. I think I said 9 or 10 wins earlier in the season. They might have problems getting that far.
Well, here's what you got with the Packers. You've got Rodgers, who is the best. You've got three capable running backs, one who could be very good in Aaron Jones, a tight end who should be still good in Jimmy Graham, two other guys that are more than capable, although Kendrick seems like every time a ball comes his way, he like relearns how to catch. He did catch one against Detroit, which was like a miracle. You've got receivers that should be pretty good. I guess I'm willing to just kind of ride this out for a little more up until the point where Rodgers, if Rodgers is 100% and he's practicing and everything's normal and they're still playing with like this much stubbornness, this much lack of creativity, then I'll kind of sound the alarms. But I think for this season, it would only be fair to let things fall a little bit and let Rodgers be healthy before we start firing everybody. But for McCarthy, man, I mean, his leash is very short, and I don't know if he can get through another season of excuses.
Oh, if he doesn't make the playoffs, he's for sure out.
Even with a banged-up Rodgers.
He is for sure out, yes. Yeah, he's out. Because he didn't find another way to win. And you brought Mike Pettine in as your defensive coordinator, and so far that hasn't worked out. All right? You threw a shutout against a crappy quarterback with the Buffalo Bills. But you couldn't get the job done against Detroit. You struggled again defensively in some spots. Can't get a pass rush. Some guys in your secondary aren't on the same page. So, yeah, you touted bringing in Mike Pettine. And so far, you know, Mike Pettine isn't the defense isn't much better than when Dom Capers was running it. Let's say that. So don't throw the towel in on the season just yet. It's 2-2-1. There's a long way to go. Don't give up on the Packers just yet, but they got a lot of work to do.
Chuck and Winkler, we're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. We're back with more Brew Crew, as they've got one on Friday. The stage is set. Brewers, Dodgers, game one. There it is.
I'm fired, man. Friday's too long away, man.
You're
we
fired
got four
up.
More days. Three so, more days. Oh, I am.
Okay.
I am.
You
bring
said
on the Dodgers.
You said I'm fired.
I'm fired up.
Okay, that's good.
I'm fired, who knows? We'll see how that key works when I go in the building tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we're letting you broadcast from Denver today.
Yeah.
Milwaukee might be a different story.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that key when I get there at the door. And if it doesn't work, I'm like, oh, boy. Try the side door, and that door's not working.
Take the next plane back to Denver and then hop back on.
I'll just go over to Perkins and have myself a breakfast.
That's good, too. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
Green Bay down in Detroit.
Oh, my God. Mason Crosby has missed three field goals and now a point after.
There's a lot to say about this one, and we're talking about it with you all day. It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Monday on The Fan. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
Well, we'll just, work through things. I'm just like any of the things that didn't go right today.
It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Tuesday on The Fan. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
It is a Green and Gold Tuesday, talking some Packers. If you missed our chat with Aaron Nagler, go to 1057fmthefan.com. Click on Fan on Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC Highway 100 in Greenfield. Mike Clemens will join us live in just under an hour, about 9:35, our embedded Packer reporter. He spent the weekend in Detroit. But Chuck Freeman spending the weekend in Denver, soon to go out to Los Angeles, where the last time the Brewers played the Dodgers, this happened.
We're going to be Milwaukee too, four games.
The 3-2 Puig. With a fly ball to center field, Yelich has a long way to go, and it is gone, a home run! This is just remarkable tonight. Queen's second home run of the night.
We're going to beat Milwaukee too.
So Yasiel Puig in the celebration last night saying that they're going to beat Milwaukee four games. He had two home runs the last time these two teams played. That was August 2nd, Dodger Stadium. Dodgers won that game 21-5. Hopefully the Dodgers don't even put up 21 runs this series, but we'll find out.
Yeah, they forgot about that game as soon as it ended. The Brewers did. They that 21-5. That one got out of hand.
It's one of those games you don't review the tape. You just move on. You burn the tape and you move on.
Yeah, I mean, they don't look at that. They, you know, the fact is that you get to the postseason, you throw all that stuff away, and it is. I think the Brewers have changed a lot since then. You know, the Brewers are in this amazing winning streak, and they're playing good ball. They're the hottest team in baseball right now. They're hotter than any of these teams. The Dodgers are hot, too. You know, they finished out the regular season strong, and they won. You know, they won this series with Atlanta, except for the one hiccup on Sunday. They were, you know, they pretty much put them away easily. Now, what we'll see here now, the Brewers can change around their 25-man roster, Bart, going into this series. And we'll see. Do they keep an extra pitcher and maybe drop either Domingo or Broxton as a guy off the bench? There could be a decision to be made if they decide to keep another lefty.
Well, yeah, they're going to the 11 pitcher thing, which is interesting because they only used 8 of them. They kept 11 pitchers, which was already pretty startling, of the 25, and then they only used 8. They never used Guerra, they never used Peralta, and they never used Gio Gonzalez. And you can chime in here, 414-799-1250. So game one, they went with Woodruff in the bullpen. Game two, they went with Chacin. And then game three, they went with Miley. So just from the starting pitcher rotation perspective, game one, we're assuming Chacin. Is that kind of the assumption?
Yeah. You know, with Woodruff starting game one against Colorado, that was a week ago. That was last Thursday. So you wonder, though, keeping him and like putting him, he would have had like 9 days rest between starts. That's an awful lot for a pitcher. So you would think, wouldn't you want a guy who's been lubed up a little bit, like Chacin, he's been pitching, instead of having Woodruff, who's been sitting on the shelf for 9 days?
We already did the fourhymns.com.
Eight, you know what I mean.
Oh, okay.
A guy who's ready to go.
Yeah, no, I think so.
His engine is going.
Well, you got to, I mean, you're going against Kershaw, so you throw your best guy. Is your best guy Chacin? Is your best guy Miley? Or is your best guy the bullpen?
You know, some teams do this. When they have Kershaw on the other end, they don't mind using their two or three guy because they figure, hey, Kershaw is pitching. Why should we use our number one starter against him when it's already going to be tough sledding trying to score runs? Let's save our better starter for another day.
You could go with Wade Miley, but you could wait till he goes back to Dodger Stadium. Wade Miley's never lost at Dodger Stadium. Actually, he's performed very well against the Brewers just this season. Wade Miley made 2 starts against the Dodgers, 13 innings, has not allowed a run. Notes put together by J.R. Radcliffe over at the Journal Sentinel. He's permitted 6 hits and 4 walks and has 7 strikeouts. When the Dodgers lost to Milwaukee on the 31st, he was on the hill for the 1-0 victory. Also, the bullpen's been very good against the Dodgers. Soria, Jefferson, Hader, a combined 9 innings without allowing a run versus the Dodgers this season. So Wade Miley could be a key guy in the series. Chacin, I would expect to get the game one start, but well, nobody saw the bullpen day coming the last time around.
Hey, Chacin hasn't pitched since last Friday, so that would be 7 days for him. So you got to get him out there. You know, too much rest. Sometimes these starters don't want to have too much rest. So Chacin, I think you got to get him out there in game one and let him pitch. Frames, and then, you know, Miley, who just pitched last Sunday, you get him maybe game two.
Let's go to the phone, 799-1250, talk to our boy Sith Lord. Hey, did you see that highlight of Jabari shared last night on Twitter?
Yeah, the more and more I see of him, I'm, you know, it's like therapy for me, man. It's like I can let go because his defense is, I mean, he's awful. Man.
Did you go to the game? Did you go to the preseason game?
No, I could have gone to it, but
it's kind of like, I got the feeling it's like Jabari was never a Buck. It almost feels like that now.
Well, it was really weird. I don't know who that player is that's wearing number 12 for the Bucks right now, but it's like, that was weird to see.
Anyway, that was enough Jabari for the day. What's going on?
Yeah, let's move on. Let's never talk about that again. Hey, anyway, you know how the Bucks, for example, or even the Packers, like you kind of have to talk, especially with the Packers the last few seasons, it's like you have to talk yourself into how you think they can get to the Super Bowl or how, you know, they could win the Super Bowl. And it's like with this Brewers team right now, and I probably wouldn't have been saying this a month ago, but right now I don't know how much more you could ask for. You know, like the bats are there, the pitching staff is there, they're making all the right decisions. It's like even if even, and I read an article on Deadspin last night about how, you know, the theory even, you know, 5 to 10 years ago was, you know, the teams that have the most money, just go out and get the best players, you win a title. Like, I don't really think that is the way that baseball is being played anymore. And you have to tip your hat to David Stearns for, like, putting this whole thing together. Because say you end up getting Manny Machado, right? Like, you're not in any better position than you are right now. Like, you won the NL and you're on a roll, you know? Like, I don't think we're scared of L.A. as much as L.A. is scared of us right now. And for that reason, like, I don't know if the Brewers, you know, if they go to the World Series, they can beat Houston or Boston. Like, that's a totally different story. But I think we can beat L.A., man. Like, I'm confident in it.
I think they could beat any of those teams. I think the Brewers don't have to take a back seat. They're the best team in the National League for a reason. You know, they won 95, 96 games. And if they have to play Boston, if they were lucky enough to get by the Dodgers, I don't mean lucky, but if they got by the Dodgers, they could beat Houston. They could beat Boston. They could win a world championship with that roster.
Sid, thanks for the call, buddy. Make sure you check him out, Hyundai West Dallas. More on them in a moment.
You know, we're not talking about Loyola here. This isn't a Cinderella story. Loyola going, you know, the Final Four in basketball. The Brewers are a good team. And it's not like they're nobody's underdog, as Mike McCarthy once said back in 2010. We haven't pulled that one out in a while. And the Brewers aren't that way either. They're nobody's underdog. They're as good as any team that's left. I really believe that. And we'll find out. But, Bart, I really think that, you know, they're going to win this series with the Dodgers. And, sure, the Dodgers have some hitting, but the Brewers got some strengths over the Dodgers as well.
The Manny Machado thing, let me hang on to that for 60 seconds. This is a good time to bring up the boys over at Hyundai West Dallas. That's where I got my car from. That's where you should get your car from. That fine, well-spoken young gentleman you just heard.
Me?
Young.
Oh, young.
No, well, you're young.
He can't be much younger than I am.
I don't know. He's in the car game, so that ages you a little bit.
Yeah. But they work like 15-hour days, those guys.
Yeah, like 6 days a week. But they're doing it for you, and they're giving you the best customer service over at Hyundai West Dallas. I got my Santa Fe Sport there back in May. They are treating everybody as best as you can be treated. I mean, that is so important to them, the customer service aspect of it. You've got the customer service, award-winning, by the way. You've got the lowest prices in town. You've got a brand-new showroom. 1, 2, 3, there it is. That's your triple crown that we've been after. The month of October is Customer Appreciation Month, which means more discounts on sales and service than they already give. And the best way to get some of these deals, you're doing it right now. You are listening to The Fan, WSSP, 1250, that sports station with Bart and Chuck. Just give them an indication that this is where you heard them. $1,000 off the MSRP and 10% off any service in their service department just for letting them know that you heard about them on The Fan. You're always looking for a good deal. This is Milwaukee, where we care more about the win streak, not because of our baseball team, but because we might get a free 75-cent burger. We're always looking for a good deal. They've got good deals. Just tell them that you heard about Hyundai West Dallas on The Fan. They're located Highway 100 between Lincoln and National. Visit them in person or at the website, HyundaiWestDallas.com. Make sure you mention The Fan. Make sure you mention Bart when you go in there. What Sith Lord said, Chuck, with Manny Machado, the Brewers did not need him to get to this point. The Dodgers did. But could the Brewers use him to get past the Dodgers? Will the Dodgers get past the Brewers because of Manny Machado? This series, these next possible 8 to 14 games that the Dodgers could have, this is why they got Manny Machado. That's already a great lineup. And then they discover this Max Muncy guy. But they've already got Grandal, who's a Brewer killer, and Justin Turner, and Matt Kemp's had a renaissance. So that's a good lineup already. But getting Manny Machado, they got him for this series coming up. So sometimes the trade you don't make is actually the better move. But now, in a twist of fate here, the Brewers have to face the guy that they were so sought after and so rumored to acquire. Now you've got to face him, and I think he's going to be a key factor in this series.
Sounds like you're fearful of him.
Yes, I am.
Well, again, I think the Brewers have guys in their lineup that the Dodgers are going to be fearful with. One guy is not going to carry the way. And he showed his explosive power yesterday. And yeah, he's one of the top players in the game. But man, it takes unlike basketball, where one guy could take you to the promised land, like LeBron, Manny Machado can be neutralized in this series, I think, with good pitching. And even if he does go off, he needs help from other guys on that team too. So, yeah, I'm not as fearful about Machado as you might be and others might be. The Machado factor, who knows? I might be wrong on that, but I don't go into the series worried about that. Just that guy.
825 OPS since he came over to the Dodgers, has had some big hits here in the postseason. It's just the fact that he had a home run the other night and last night. All those games yesterday, did you catch much of those games?
Yeah, the Dodger game I did.
Yeah, they were all like close for a minute or two, mm-hmm. and then the Red Sox rolled over the Yankees, Brock Holt first cycle in postseason history. The Dodgers had a pretty decently sized win. The Astros steamrolled over Cleveland, which means the Brewers will not have home field advantage guaranteed in the World Series mm-hmm. because the only team they would have had that edge against is the Cleveland Indians. Now the Brewers will start the World Series on the road.
Yeah,
if
the
they
Indians,
get there.
Indians, thanks for playing the postseason, the Cleveland Indians, man. They went down without much of a fight at all yesterday. And the Braves took a lead briefly yesterday in that game against the Dodgers, and I was hoping to get to a Game 5, so they'd have to use up Kershaw. But, Manny Machado and David Freese ended up being big factors in that game. But, you know, again, I think this is going to be a hell of a series. It could be. I'd be surprised if either team won it in 5 games.
You want to talk about a twist of fate, man. How does David Freese end up against the Brewers in the NLCS? Granted, he hasn't been, like, great, but it's David Freese. And he really hasn't been good against the Brewers the last few seasons, but still, we remember the David Freese that we remember back in 2011.
Yeah, now I saw that guy yesterday hit. See, David Freese, I saw him get the base yesterday. I'm like, man, I mean, not that David Freese gives me fear, but it's just like, God, there's that guy again. He always comes up in the big moments. He was the MVP of the NLCS when the Brewers played them in 2011. And he was just sitting in Pittsburgh. They were going nowhere, and then they traded him to the Dodgers. And he said this after the game last night. He goes, you know, 1 minute I'm in Pittsburgh, we're just kind of, you know, meandering around. Next thing you know, I'm on a contender. So it kind of rejuvenated his season.
More on the Brewers-Dodgers coming up. We'll talk to Mike Clemens on this Green and Gold Tuesday around 9:35. Have a safe flight back there, Chuck.
See you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Chuck's got to catch a flight. So you going to stream us on the drive over?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely. I gotta turn my car in. It's like 35 minutes across town.
Oh, well, drive safe. It's Chuck Freeman.
Rush hour traffic. I'm behind an hour here. So
be safe, buddy, old boy.
All right, man.
All right, Chuck Freeman signing off for the day. He'll be back tomorrow. Cody Grant's here. We'll have a little fantasy football hot knot for you. We'll talk to Mike Clemens on this Green and Gold Tuesday. And more on the Brewers-Dodgers with you guys next, 414-799-1250. Am I wrong? Am I wrong to be worried about Manny Machado? Could that non-move end up costing the Brewers? We'll hear from you guys coming up, 799-1250.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.